Spirit Radio Podcasts.
This next thought is going to be inspiration for those who are looking to plan a family holiday or maybe a honeymoon, because it's going to be a little bit of nostalgia for me, because my next guest is going to be talking about the destination that I actually went to on my own honeymoon, which will be 5 years ago, can you believe it, in September. And it definitely is in one of the best places I've ever been to. We're going to be talking about holidaying in Sri Lanka, but we're also going to be talking about doing a kind of a twin thing where you do the Maldives and Sri Lanka. So really, really popular, especially for that kind of honeymoon or big anniversary kind of thing, to go to the fancy Maldives. I didn't get to do that, so I'm sure I'll be getting inspiration today. Joined with me in studio, I have product manager from Go Hop Travel, Andre Miliorina. Good morning, Andre. Great to have you back with us on Spirit Radio.
It's lovely to be with you and your listeners again, Wendy. It's lovely to be here on such a sunny day again.
Well, listen, let's talk about Sri Lanka. One of the things that I loved about Sri Lanka was I've been to India as well. I would kind of describe it as a place that has obviously a really different, interesting culture. Because they call it the teardrop of India, don't they? A lot of the fantastic cultural elements that you might find in India, but with less of the madness. It's actually a really laid back country. Did you find that?
Well, it's called the island of serendipity anyway. That word I always sort of get it. But it's a teardrop shaped island. It sits at the bottom of India. And yes, if you're thinking of traveling to the region and you're not sure about going to India, or then pick Sri Lanka as your number one choice. Sri Lanka is an amazing place because it has everything. It has the friendliest people, the best food, the scenery is incredible, it has wildlife. I think it has 8 UNESCO World Heritage sites. What I'd like to do is, there's a couple of things that you need to just sort of be aware of before you travel, and let's maybe get those out of the way first.
The practical side of things.
So getting there, what you need to do when you're there, when you need to travel, and especially for the Maldives and Sri Lanka, it's really, really important. And then maybe we can just talk about some of the nice things.
Okay, so get me there first. How do I get there?
So getting there first from Ireland these days is really easy, because pretty much all the airlines that are flying in that direction are traveling via Sri Lanka and the Maldives. So the best way is Dublin via Abu Dhabi or Dubai. That's either with Emirates or Etihad. Turkish fly as well. So that's a great way, and you can combine that obviously with a stopover in the UAE if you wanted to. So that's a cool way of doing it. If you just wanted to do Sri Lanka, say, and the stop in Dubai, that's fab. So the airlines, price-wise, you're looking between 500 and 800 euros for a return flight via. So that's a good way of doing it, and you're obviously in and out of Colombo. No visa required. Well, actually, there is. It's an online visa, so you need to just get on.
It's a pretty easy process, though, is it?
This is 15 euros. You go online, you do an e-visa. But no inoculations required, really. Malaria-free. So it's a place that you can travel to if you're worried about Zika. It's a place that you can travel to if you have kids. So that's all good, too. The one thing that you need to take note of for Sri Lanka is it has 2 distinct rainy seasons. Sri Lanka is split in half weather-wise by a mountain range that runs through the middle of Sri Lanka. And it means that it has a northern and a southern monsoon. And it means when I'm talking rain, I'm talking not inches or centimeters, I'm talking meters of rain. So the southern half of the country has its monsoon from May till, let's say, September. So over our summer period is when it's wet in the south. And then the rest of the year, it can be raining in the north. So you can go to Sri Lanka all year round, but you need to kind of pick the right part of the island to go at the right time. And if you do that, you're going to have a fabulous trip. And that applies the same thing to the Maldives. The Maldives traditionally will have its rainy season May, June, July, August, September. It's low season, can be very wet, can be raining for a week. So I'd be wary if you're going at that time of the year. Obviously, with the weather changing at the moment, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's something to consider. But obviously, rates are much lower then.
And how do you get to the Maldives from Sri Lanka? What's the easiest way to do it?
It's a quick hop. So Air Sri Lanka and all those airlines that I just mentioned, they fly too. So it's a 40-minute flight from Colombo to Mane. And then to pick an island in the Maldives is probably the most difficult thing that you're going to do, because there's 1,500 islands in the chain, and lots of them are inhabited. So my advice to everybody is, it's price. The Maldives, everybody says, you know, the Maldives are really expensive, but it doesn't have to be. So if you go shoulder season, like I said to you before, or after the high season, Christmas obviously is peak in the Maldives. The thing about the knack about the Maldives is that every resort looks exactly the same. The Maldivian government stipulates how they can be built and what they need to be looked like and the materials. So it doesn't matter what the island is, they all look the same. They just vary in luxuriousness. So when you look at the islands, and if you visit 20 of them at the time, by the time you're in the third one, you've forgotten what the first one looks like, because they all look exactly the same. So it's the operator running the island is what you're paying for. So if you use a local Maldivian operator or a Sri Lankan operator, you can get something for a quarter of the price than, let's say, if you're using a Hilton or a Sheraton or an Oberoi, which costs probably 6 or 20 or even 1,000 times more than what you get. So if you pick the right resort and the right region, you can actually have a really affordable, and they obviously combine fantastically well, Sri Lanka and the Maldives. And I would do Sri Lanka first, do all the travel bit, and
finish
then do the Maldives if
the
you want to do
a
beach. And you're looking for that crystal clear white beach, snorkeling with turtles, all that sort of thing. That's the Maldives. It is amazing.
So how do you do that? Take the task on of finding the right operator to go to the Maldives?
The best advice from my own experience, having traveled Sri Lanka extensively, is it's a really difficult place to get around, and if you're using public transport, and it's certainly not a place I would drive. So the way to travel, and I think it's the way that you did it
as well.
Is that you have a driver. So when you get into Colombo, you meet your driver, and they generally tend to be driver guides. They sort of just drop you off, let's say, at the Siguiria Rock Fortress, and then see you four hours later when you come back, that sort of thing. So it makes traveling in Sri Lanka really easy.
And it's really affordable, isn't it?
It is, exactly. So the way to do it is to have a driver and then to pick an itinerary. And then it's really what you're into. And if you're into wildlife, or if you're into beaches, if you're into whale watching, food, surfing, adventure, if you want to do the Mountain Adams Peak or something, whitewater rafting, it really just depends on what's on your bucket list. And depending what you want to do, you can then put an itinerary together. And I think less is more in Sri Lanka. I would spend 2 or 3 nights in one place and move on to the next one rather than trying to do a whirlwind and see everything, because it takes an awful long time. I'm sure you remember, to get from A to B can take like 5 hours.
Distances that seem like they're short from a kind of miles, kilometers perspective, you think, oh yeah, that won't take too long, but the roads are in parts pretty bad. And I do remember that. Great
traffic.
And all as it was, having a driver obviously that you could stop and all that sort of stuff. One of the things actually that really impressed me about Sri Lanka was how the drivers were treated. So everywhere we went, these guys were really well looked after. They were accommodated. We didn't have to pay for their accommodation and food, because the hotels and that just so value tourism and value this profession that these drivers are doing, that they're really well looked after. And I remember when we were doing our safari in Yalin National Park, which was fantastic. And like you said, we went off and did the safari, and the next day we were chatting to our driver and he said, oh yeah, they just let me kind of take a space because there was a space for you. And I just thought, well, I just thought it was brilliant that there was that kind of level of respect and kind of looking after the drivers that were looking after us. But talk to me a little bit about the national park side of things, because as I said, Andre, it's 5 years ago for me, so I can't remember the finer details, other than my main memory of the national park was being in our room, getting a phone call to say, when you're coming down for your dinner, just call us because we're going to bring a guide to walk down with you, because there's kind of a troop of elephants walking around near your hotel room. And there was. So that was a bizarre phone call.
You see, Sri Lanka is one of those places where it surprises you how much wildlife there actually is. And again, because of the religion and the Buddhists and all that sort of stuff, they really do preserve what they have. And you must remember, Sri Lanka had a war that lasted for 25 years or so. So it wasn't on the tourist trail for many, many people for many, many years. And about 10, 11 years ago now, when the war in the north ended, tourism started again, and all the roads and the infrastructure and the hotels were being built and are being built. And that's why the infrastructure is so new, and that's why you get such amazing accommodation, including the national parks. So there's national parks in the north. You've got Wilpatu, you've got Minaria, then you've got Yala in the south. There's the forest reserves, there's the Horton Plains National Park where you can walk. But what amazed me is when you go on safari, it's very similar to when you're in Africa on a safari, or you're in South Africa, you actually have a jeep and you have a driver guide or a tracker if you want. And you go into the national parks in the mornings early and in the afternoons late. But the wildlife was astounding. I mean, it surprises me every time I go. You don't expect to see leopard, but it actually has the highest density of leopards in the world. And because this is the apex predator in Sri Lanka, they actually walk around during the day. So whereas in Africa, leopards you generally see at night when they go out hunting, leopards in Sri Lanka, they hunt during the day because they have no other predators there. And then you get elephant, and you get sloth bear, and you get crocodile, and you get deer, and you get the bird life is fantastic. And so there's a really varied wildlife, and the national parks, again, the elephants. I mean, I think they have about 3,000 Asian elephants in the parks, free roaming a lot of the time as well. So safari, definitely I would do, but you also, safari on the water, some of the best whale watching in the world is done off the coast of Marissa, for instance, or dolphins, and turtle tracking and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, when it comes to wildlife, Sri Lanka is fabulous, and it should definitely be part of your itinerary.
It's amazing just for a relatively small country how there's such a big mix of things to do, from beach to city to safari. What about the food?
Yeah, you see, I'm a foodie anyway, and I love, anytime I travel anywhere, I just dig into the local food culture as much as I possibly can. I try and stay away from the European-style buffets that you get in the hotels. So the cuisine in Sri Lanka is very similar to India, but it's coconut-based. You know, coconut features pretty much
spicy.
An absolute... No, actually is more spicy.
Oh, really?
Indeed. So it is very spicy. They use the little green chilies and the little red chilies that are, you know, they blow your head away. I remember being in a hotel and they had something called a green mango curry, which I definitely had to try. And instead of tasting it first, I took a big mouthful and I almost expired on the spot. It's one of those things where you put the curry on the plate, it falls through the plate, through the table, and ends up in Australia. It was just that spicy, but really good. So seafood, amazing. Shrimp curries and crab curries, you know, full of coconut milk and spices. The spices everywhere you go, the smell is, I mean, the street food is incredible. They have something called hoppers. And hoppers are these little, almost like a pancake that they do, but that you can have a breakfast hopper with an egg in it, or you can have a dessert hopper with buffalo curd and wild honey in it. So, I mean, the food is just fabulous.
Do you feel safe in Sri Lanka, Andre?
Totally. As a woman, you can walk a beach on your own. You don't get hassled. You can travel everywhere you like. I mean, obviously, you know, put your traveling hat on and a few safety things apply everywhere. But absolutely, I would travel in Sri Lanka on your own, as a group, as a couple in a car. You'll never have any problems or petty theft, if anything, if you leave something lying. But other than that, no issues at all.
Yeah, I have to say, obviously, it being my honeymoon, but and have been to India, Malaysia, and a few different places, Sri Lanka is definitely up there for me. In terms of go hop and getting there, any good kind of deals at the moment, or what can people expect to pay to go to Sri Lanka?
I think you can do, like I said, your flights are about anytime 500 to 800 euros if you want to get a return flight. If you want to do a driver guide 2 weeks trip with a flight, you're probably looking at about 2,200 euros all in. That's the starting point, up to maybe about 3,000 depending on how luxury you want to go. There's some amazing trips if you look at Intrepid Travel and G Adventures. If you want to go in a group, you know, they have cycling trips that go around throughout the island. They have foodie tours. So if you want to do something as an organized group or travel as a woman on your own, I would pick one of those trips and add a flight in. And then I suppose the Maldives is the thing really where the money comes in. And that's kind of where you need to be a little bit clever about what you book and how long you book it for. And one of the tips I would say to you, everybody says to me, we want to go and stay in a water bungalow. So you have one of those accommodations where you're on stilts over the water, and they tend to be really high in price. So clever about it is, if you say you're spending a week in the Maldives, go and pay 4 or 5 nights on a beach bungalow, and then spend your last 2 nights in a water bungalow. So you get the best of both worlds, and you can make it more affordable. Or spend 3 nights in or 4 nights in one resort and then splurge and go and spend another 2 nights in another resort, maybe 10 or 15 minutes away. So something like the Kurumati, which is an amazing resort, and then you combine it with Candaloo. Candaloo is like a little tiny Robinson Crusoe, 20 rooms, no entertainment, nobody there. You might see the odd celebrity type of island, but they're only 20 minutes apart, and you can book one and the other one as well, you know?
Oh, sounds like a dream to me. It's been great to chat to you today. I've been chatting to Andre Miliorina, who is the product manager from GoHop Travel, and we've been talking all about Sri Lanka. And if you want to check out GoHop, you can go to their website, which is gohop.ie. Andre, thanks for chatting to us today on
Lovely
Spirit Radio.
With you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie. Yeah.